great, great thing and a great, great time. Today, as we continue in our series, He Is, we're going to be reading from the book of John. We're preaching from the book of John, so John chapter 10. And I'm going to ask Drew Garland, would you come? Drew's one of our kids workers, and he's going to be reading our passage of Scripture together today, or for us today. Drew, here's your mic. And if you will, take your Bibles, and would you mind please standing as we read the Word of God? John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Drew, come and read for us.
Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the word of the Lord."
Amen. You can be seated. And we're in week three, I believe it is, of our series called He Is, as we're looking and walking through the Gospel of John, looking at the seven I Am statements of Jesus as he was headed towards the cross, and him defining who not only he was, but who he is in that moment. And he says that he is the great I Am. And when he uses those words, I Am, he's using the name that God gave Moses when Moses was given the commandment to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let God's people go. And Moses says to him, "Who am I going to say sent me?" And he said, "You tell Pharaoh, I am that I am." That is the great I Am. That word, I am, I exist, I am. And so when Jesus is using the language, I am, I am the bread of life. I am the God of bread. I am the bread of life. I am the God of light, the light of the world. I am light. I give light to the whole world. I give light to men. I give bread. I give satisfaction. And today, we're going to be talking about his statement in the first part. We're going to spend 2 weeks here in John chapter 10, but we're only going to be going through verse 10 today. And we'll look at his next I Am statement later on next week when he finishes this out. But today we're going to be looking at him defining himself, him making the declaration that he is the door. He's the door. All throughout Scripture, doors are mentioned. There's all kinds of doors. In Genesis 3, there was an angel with a flaming sword in Genesis 3 that guarded the doorway back, the pathway back to the garden so that Adam and Eve couldn't no longer go when they were expelled. In Genesis chapter 6, you see when Noah goes onto the ark, it's God himself that has to shut the door. When you move ahead into Exodus, when Moses goes to tell Pharaoh the very last plague? It was the plague of the death of the firstborn. And you had a door and a threshold, and there was blood that was put across the doorway, across the threshold. In the book of Kings, when the temple, the tabernacle is being built, when the tabernacle is built in Exodus, and then when the temple is built in Kings, what you see is that there is only one way, only one entrance, one doorway into the temple. That's not even talking about the doors in the New Testament. Remember the doors in the New Testament, those doors of the jail, the prison that were open when Paul and Silas were praising? There's all kinds of doors that give significance in the Scripture. Doors are entryway, doors are exits. Doors are, they provide safety, they provide protection from those who shouldn't be getting in, and it provides pathway for those to enter into a place. You remember the doorway that was so packed and so crowded, listening to Jesus speak, that they had to have a whole new doorway? We'd call it a skylight today. They had to have a new way to get somebody down to see Jesus. Doors play an integral part in the scripture. And so today, when Jesus says, "I am the door," we need to kind of understand what that looks like. I love being able to kind of set a stage. I want us to be able to see, because I don't want us just to drop down into chapter 10. We were in chapter 8 last week. Do you remember in chapter 8 when he talked about he was the light of the world? If you finish out chapter 8, Jesus gets into a debate and an argument with the religious leaders, the Pharisees there. And they're like debating about, is he truly from the Father? And it ends with Jesus at the end of chapter 8 saying that he is I am. He definitively makes the statement, I am. He's basically equating himself with God. And the scripture tells us at the end of chapter 8 that they reach down as they begin to pick up stones because they were going to stone him. Chapter 9 says that it says that Jesus, while they were doing that, Jesus slipped away. He had no fear. He wasn't concerned with men. He walked away. And as he walked away, many scholars believe this was a continuation of the feast, that last day, the Feast of Tabernacles. As he walks away to another part of the temple, there's a blind man seated there, and he sees the blind man. He goes up, he makes mud from the floor of the temple. From there, he gathers up whatever, where he could, made mud, spit, and he wiped the mud into the blind man's eyes, and he says, "Go to the pool of Siloam, and you're to wash." The man gets up, he goes to the pool of Siloam, he washes his eyes, and now then, he's a formerly blind man. Scripture says that he sees. Jesus is already gone. He goes back to the place that he was, where he used to sit and beg. His friends all see him, and it's like, "What happened, dude? You can see. You can see." Word gets around to the religious leaders, and they call him in because he's telling everybody, "I once was blind, now I see." The religious leaders call him in and say, "How'd this happen?" And he says, I don't know, but there was a prophet who, his name was Jesus. He made mud. He told me to go and wash off, and now I see. They begin to question, was he ever really blind? You know, was this just a trick? So they call his parents in. His parents come in, and they begin to question his parents. Was he really blind? And they said, because they had already said, anyone who identifies with Christ, we're going to kick you out of the synagogue. We're going to kick you out of the temple. And the parents, knowing this, said, "Why are you asking us? He's a grown man. Ask him. Let him do the speaking for himself." And the man, they call him back in. The Pharisees say, "What happened? Who did this?" And the man kind of pops off a little bit as you're reading, and he says, "What? Are you wanting to be a disciple of Jesus also? All that I can tell you is that I was once blind, and now I see." And the scripture tells us they kicked him out of the synagogue. The religious leaders, they kicked him out of the synagogue. We're in chapter 10 now, and chapter 10 begins with, or the end of chapter 9, I guess I should say, leading into 10, says that Jesus hears about it and goes and finds the man. Now, I want to say this to you right quick. That still is the pattern today with Jesus. The blind man was not looking for Jesus. Jesus came to the blind man and found him. The blind man wasn't asking to be healed. He was asking for alms, and Jesus gave him more. He healed him. When Jesus found out about the persecution of the formerly blind man, Jesus sought him out. And I want to tell you today that Jesus has brought you here, and he is seeking you out today. Some of you, you're blind. You're blind to spiritual truth. You don't recognize it. And he has brought you here today because he wants to remove the blindness so that you might see him as the doorway, as the door. Jesus looks at him because this man didn't know who Jesus was. And he says, Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, "Who is the Son of Man?" And Jesus says, "You're looking at him." And he says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And Jesus says, "This is what I've come for, so that blind men might see again." Now then, at the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus starts telling a story. And in that midst of that story, the story about sheep and shepherds, stories about sheepfolds and thieves and robbers and doors, standing around there, you have a blind man, one who was once blind. You have religious leaders, and Jesus begins to tell the story about thieves and robbers. He begins to draw a line, and it gets very, very pointed at this moment. So what's he trying to do right here? Well, in this, and we're going to talk about this next week. I don't want to get too far into it. But in this story that Drew read just a moment ago, talking about shepherds and sheepfolds, he's talking about a city sheepfold, one that's happening in a city where many, many shepherds would bring their sheep. And there would be an existing sheepfold. And while the shepherds went to rest and eat or sleep, they would give money to a hired hand who would sit at the gate and guard their sheep. And there may be 10, 15, there may be 5 or 10 different shepherds with their sheep in there. And that shepherd would guard them. This is what it looks like in a city, sheepfold. And Jesus in his story, he says this. He says, only the shepherd comes through the door. He says, everyone else are thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers would, because they would line up usually their sheepfolds against a building or a rock face. Many times, robbers and thieves at the night, while the gatekeepers at the front, they would be climbing over the back. Remember, he says in here, thieves and robbers, they've come to take the sheep. He says they would climb over. And what would end up happening is when a thief and a robber would come to steal a sheep, he would get in and he would have to slit the throat so that the sheep would not begin to scream. You know, sheep are loud. You ever been around sheep? They're loud. They slit the throat and then throw the sheep over the fence and then fleece it. Have you heard of fleecing someone? They would fleece the sheep, take the skin off, divide the meat up, and sell it all. The Pharisees are hearing this story right here, and they're beginning to go, I think he's talking about us. I think he's drawing a pretty distinct picture right here. Is he talking about me? Is he talking about us? Look at what it says in verse 6. John chapter 10, beginning of verse 6. This figure of speech that Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, whenever Jesus, he started verse 1 with truly, truly, and now here we are in verse 7, truly, truly, he's trying to get our attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who've come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I have two observations about this passage that I want to give you. The first one is this, that Jesus is making right here out of verse 7. That this is the first one. Jesus is the only door to salvation. Jesus is the only door to salvation. If you haven't been with us the last couple of weeks, I would encourage you to go back and on our app or website somewhere and listen to the last couple of weeks. What Jesus does right here is the same thing he's done for the last 2 weeks. He makes a very definitive statement of his exclusive nature of defining how salvation comes. 2 weeks ago, he didn't say that I am one type of bread. He said, I am the bread of life. Not a type, the type. He didn't say, I'm one of many lights. He says, I am the light of the world. And today he says, I am the door, the only door. There's not many doors. There's only one door. Jesus draws a line here and he gets very, very definitive. Very definitive. You see, he is in the last 6 months of his life. He's had this teaching ministry. He's had this healing ministry. And people are still, even his disciples are still not certain. Who is this guy again? I know his name is Jesus. And so he is making markers to say, there's only one way. And I am it. I'm the door. Today, you may hear stories. You may hear people say. You may have encountered. Maybe you're one who thinks, oh, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. You know, this whole, there's many paths up the mountain. There's many roads. You hear people talking about there's all of these holy books. I want to tell you today, according to what Jesus has said, according to the Word of God, there's only one door to salvation. Only one door to salvation. There's only one name given under heaven by which men must be saved, and his name is Jesus. And he's chosen to define himself and say that he is the bread, he is the light, he is the door, he is the only way to have a right relationship with God. This is what he says. Some of you in here, I hear this from time to time as I talk to people, maybe this is you. You may be thinking, that sounds awful arrogant, Kyle. You mean to tell me you think you've got this all figured out based on a book that was written thousands of years ago? That sounds awfully dogmatic of you. Well, I want to tell you, all that I'm doing is carrying the water here. All that I'm doing is I want you to hear what Jesus himself said. And if Jesus himself defined himself and said, this is who I am, if that is true, that he is the great I am, he is equal with God, he is the second person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If he is who he says he is, it's not arrogant at all. It's not arrogant at all. In fact, what it is Jesus himself, he gets to define himself. Not only does he get to define himself, he gets to define what the rules are for getting into the sheepfold. He gets to define who gets in, and he gets to define and say, I am the door. I'm it. I'm the only door to salvation. Today in this room, there are some of you in here who are not followers of Jesus Christ, and you've been knocking on all kinds of doors. You've been trying to kick at them. You've been trying to knock it down. You may have even gotten into behind a door into a room, and you're like going, this ain't it. This may be the 10th room you've been in. I'm here to tell you today, your answer for what you're searching for, his name is Jesus. And he's defined himself in this passage as the great shepherd. We'll look at that next week. He says that I've come to call my sheep, and the only way my sheep find life, salvation, is through me. That's it. It's the only way. It's through me. You know, the unique thing is that we question, as I said just a minute ago, is that really true? Does he have the ability to say that? Look at Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, you're in the book of John. You might want to go back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Jesus is speaking, and he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Who knows the Father? The Son. Who knows the Son? The Father. How do you get to know the Father? You got to know the Son. And the Son then reveals to you who the Father is. Notice what he says in the book of John, John chapter 17. Go back over to John 10 and then turn a few more pages to John 17. In John chapter 17, this is the prayer that Jesus prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he was to be crucified the next morning. It's called his high priestly prayer. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 2, he says, when Jesus had spoken these words, Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Do you know what Jesus says here? Let me go back to a couple of stories. What Jesus says right here in both of these passages, in Matthew and in John, is I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the door. And if you want to have a right relationship with God, it comes only through me. Only through me. Believer in the room, those of you who have surrendered your life to Christ, many of you in here today, you may be trusting for your salvation that one day you're going to see heaven. And if you truly have surrendered your life to him, I believe if you've truly surrendered your life to him, you're going to see heaven. But you're living life by knocking on all these doors. And you're trying to find relief. You're trying to find answers on the door of finance, on the door of medicine, on the door of relationships, on the door of, you pick it out. And I promise you, Jesus, the door, the only door to salvation, when you walk through that door, when you surrender your life to him, all the rest of the doors begin to open. All the rest of them open. See, we're knocking on all the wrong doors when Jesus says he is the door. How do we know who goes through the door? How do we know? And for this room in here, how do I know in just a moment whether or not you've truly wanted to walk through the door? Because some of you in here, this happens every service. Afterwards, someone will speak to me. Someone will talk to me. Someone will come back and say, man, that resonated to me. I'd like to have more conversation about this. I'd like to surrender my life to Christ. Here, look at the passage in John 10. Look what he says in verse 3. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. Look at the end of verse 3. Jesus says that the sheep hear his voice. He's talking about the shepherd. He says the sheep hear his voice, and he, that shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He says, listen, when you come to me and you go through the door, you go through me, the reason you're going to go through that door is because you hear my voice and you know my name. I know your name. You know, when a shepherd goes into any fold and he takes his sheep into any fold, do you know that shepherds name their sheep just like you name your animals? Blackie and Susie and Button and Belle and whatever else you might name your animals. Well, this is the same way that a shepherd would, because he would know his sheep. He didn't have hundreds of sheep. He met 10, 12, 15, and he would name them based on markings so that as the sheep would go into the sheepfold, as they go through the door, he's examining them. And when he comes back to get his sheep from the city fold, in that city fold, when he comes back, he begins to call them by name, and they begin to come. Just like your animals, when you call them by name, they recognize that voice. Jesus said, those who come through the door, they hear the voice of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. Notice what he says in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Who are the strangers in this? The thieves and the robbers. Don't forget the setting. Jesus is sitting here. He's speaking to a formerly blind man. Religious leaders are around. And he says, this is the way I picture it. Jesus, thieves and robbers. Listen, they're taking my sheep, and they're acting as if the sheep are for the benefit of the shepherd, when the shepherd is there for the sheep. All these thieves and robbers, you know what they're doing? They're fleecing the sheep. They're dividing up the spoils for themselves. Can I show you when he says that? Look at verse 10. Verse 10, he says this. He says, they've come, that the thieves have come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is what a thief does. And this is what he is defining right here. This is the picture. And today, I want to say to you real quickly, if you've never walked through the door, the door who has a name named Jesus, if you've never walked through that door, the one who stepped out of heaven, came to earth, Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb, the Son of God, who came, who lived his life, who lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never thought of sin. He always took the way of escape. He was tempted like all of us, yet he did not sin, the scripture tells us. That's why we have a high priest that knows what we go through. He understands us, yet he never sinned. That sinless life got him put on a cross, crucified, nailed to a tree between two robbers, a thief and a robber, nailed between them. He was laid in a grave. He arose again 3 days later. He ascended back to the Father. If you've never met that man, the God-man, fully God, fully man, I want you to hear, he is the only way to salvation. All the other doors you're knocking on are going to lead to death and destruction. This is what he's called us to. This is why he's brought you here. Just as he said truly, truly twice, he's going to repeat himself. Just so he makes sure that you hear him. He's going to repeat verse 7 again in verse 9. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, Jesus says, again, he says, I am the door. If any enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In the New Testament, in the book of John, the gospel writer of John, John the disciple, John the apostle, he, in his writing, specifically in the gospel of John, he uses the word saved only 5 times. His preferred language is eternal life. He uses eternal life 30 times. And so he uses it only 5 times. So when he uses it, we need to know what it is. And when he's talking about being saved in verse 9, what that means in the Greek language of which this was written, here's what how saved is defined. Keeps one from suffering or perishing. To keep one from experiencing the penalties of messianic judgment. Can I tell you what messianic judgment is? It's not believing that Jesus is the one who was long foretold. And there will come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But when we die, it's too late. And the scripture, Jesus is looking at them and he says, I'm the door. I'm the door. My sheep, they hear my voice. My sheep, they know my name. I know their name. And when I call them, they come. Today, I want to reiterate one more time. Jesus is the only door to salvation. Here's the second point quickly as I close out. Jesus is also the only door to freedom. He's the only door to freedom. Do you notice in verse 9? In verse 9, he says that I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. If you come by the door, the true shepherd, because if all others are thieves and robbers, how do they get in? They come over the fence. They don't come in as the true shepherd. And he says, all who come in by me, they get in and out passage. You know what that means? That's freedom. That's freedom. That means you get to go in and out. He makes way for you, the scripture tells us. He's brought freedom to you. He has set you free. What's he set us free from? Well, first of all, he set you free from the penalty of sin. He set you free from being eternally separated from God. He set you free from guilt and shame. He has set you free from being slaves to the sin. He has made a passageway for you to be out. This is what he's done. Believer, this is what he has done for you. I meet with believers often. This passage, I want to say, this part right here, there's a lot for believers. So don't clue me out here. Don't turn me off here. People who come to Christ, you've surrendered your life and you mean it, but somehow, some way, you have found yourself entangled in things that you're going, I don't know how I got here. Can I tell you that as a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus comes to you today. Today, he comes to you and he wants to untangle you from the thorns that you found yourself in, the briars you found yourself in, the bush that you're stuck in. He wants to come and pull you out of that to begin to give you passageway out of the mess you think you can never get out of. The addiction you think you can never get rid of. The financial difficulty you think there's no way out. The relationship that feels so broken, there is no way for this to be fixed. I can tell you that Jesus has come to set you free. He's come to redeem the mess that you're in. He's not going to leave you as his true sheep where you are. He wants to pull you out. So today, as a follower of Christ, if you're hearing my voice and you're thinking there's a stirring going on, this feels right, this seems right, that's not my voice, that's the Holy Spirit of God calling you. Saying, you open your hands. I've come that you might have freedom, so that you might go in and out, so that you can have, notice that last thing, he says in and out, and you'll find pasture. You know what pasture is? Pasture is where sheep go to eat, to be nourished, to be fed. This is what he has come for. He's come not just to free you from something, he's come to free you to so many things, so that you have the freedom to actually know truth, so that you have the freedom to have the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you, so that you have the freedom to approach the throne of God, not on your own works, but on the finished work of Christ. I get to enter before God because of what Jesus has done. He's come to set you free so that you now don't have to worry about your life, because your life is hidden in Christ. It is now safe with him. I can give my life for the good of others. I can lay down my life for my friends. This is what he's come to set you free. Contrast that with me. Look at verse 10 again. Do you remember in verse 10? He says, the thief, the robbers, the thief, they've come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus says at the end of verse 10, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That you might have it abundantly. This word abundant means overflowing. It means exceedingly. It means much more, much, much more. Jesus says that's the life he's come to give you. This shepherd, the thief and the robbers, they've come to steal, to kill, and destroy you, sheep. He says, sheep, I've come that you have freedom, you have in and out. I'm going to lead you by still waters. I'm going to get you by green pastures. I've come that you might have life abundant. Abundant, overflowing. Can I tell you, when I came to Christ, I love my family. My family has, they put the fun in dysfunctional. Is a little crazy. I'm thankful for my mom who has poured into my sister and I. But you know what part of her pouring in was? She brought us to church. And you know what I have? I have an exceeding, abundant, overflowing family. That's what the Lord has put me in. Do you realize that's what the Lord has put you in? I have friends. You know, you think, as students, you think you got friends in high school. You think you got some sorority and buddies. But I want to say this to you. Look around. This right here, this is exceedingly, abundantly, more than I could ever hope and pray for. You know why he's come? You know what the abundance is? That exceedingly more joy and peace and happiness in the situation that you're sitting in right now, that you think, oh, there's not a whole lot of joy and peace in this. Can I tell you that that's what Jesus has come to give you in the midst of where you are? Have you ever looked at someone and thought, I don't know how they're doing it? Man, it seems like tragedy and thing and this and that. It keeps coming. It keeps coming because they have found that through the doorway of Jesus alone, they have life abundant. This is what Jesus came to offer you today. This is what he's come for, is to give this to you. Yet so often we walk away thinking that if I could just throw off the shackles, you know, if I went through this door, it's going to provide me all kinds of abundance and freedom. If I go through this door. C.S. Lewis has a word picture that he has used to describe this type of thing. He talks about a fish who thinks that if he or she fish, he fish, she fish, you could pick it. And this fish thinks that if I could just get out on land, if I could go walk with the humans, if I could run with them, if I could go do all the things that they're doing, thinking that if they could just break out, if I could do this, that's going to be true freedom. That'll be true abundance. But you and I know that's ridiculous, right? The fish can only live and survive in the place that God has put it in the water. What the fish thinks are boundaries and limits, the Lord God says, this is life, and it's abundant life. It's overflowing life. Believers today, the Lord Jesus offers abundant, free life to you. To you, and to you, to you, and to me. Would you come through the door? Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus is speaking to one of the churches, one of those last churches, one of the seven churches. And he says to them, he says, "If behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Anyone opens the door, I'll come in. I'll eat. We'll have fellowship." Today, he knocks. He calls. Won't you receive him? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. God, it is a blessing to be in your presence today. And Jesus, I ask that you would be glorified through our singing, through our praying, through our teaching of the word, through our listening and the receiving of the word. And I would ask that today, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would open the door to salvation to those sitting in this room today. And Father, I ask that today, if there are any in here who are trying to get into doors that they think are going to be abundant, would you keep it locked? If it's other than you, your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in this room today, and it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Today.